Okay, good evening, everybody, and lichtigen Chanukah, freilich Chanukah, shkayach to laser. A laser pushed us to have a shir Chanukah night, and really, it's totally appropriate to have a shir Chanukah. Is a time where the Greeks, with the Yavanim, try to destroy first and foremost Torah Shebaal Peh in particular. I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm writing on Targum Shivim, on the Septuagint, which is when they translated the Bible. And so much about Greece was to take away the Torah from Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting, Rav Hunter points out that the reason there's no Maseches Chanukah, there's a Maseches Megillah, there's no Maseches Chanukah. There's a few blot in Bamei Malikin and Shabbos, 3-4 blot actually. Many years ago, I gave Shiurim in San Jose on those Gemaras, if people remember. And 3-4 blot there, there's a couple of halachas in Baba Kama if you're walking by, and some little menorah, and there's damages. Like, it's really not a discussion of Chanukah and Torah Shebaal Peh. And what Rav Hunter points out is that the reason there was not this discussion is because Chanukah, the Greeks tried to take away our Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh, they can never take because it's oral. It passes down with Rebbeim and students. It's the hearts of the Jewish people. And learning about Torah on Chanukah, you know, where the Greeks tried to ban Torah, to ban Yom Tovim, like Shabbos, is certainly very appropriate. And it's really a chizik that we're sitting here. How many years ago was Chanukah? Approximately 168 BCE. So it's about 2,200 years. The war started 167 to 1 BCE. And it went all the way to 141 BCE. So 2,200 years after the fighting against the Syrian Greeks, and not just fighting physically against the Syrian Greeks, having a Kulturkampf, a war of ideas with Greece itself, a war of ideas. Who would be the dominant idea of the world? Would it be Yavan, or would it be Klal Yisrael and the Torah that we're sitting here learning Torah? Gufa this year on there, on Exodus, you know, learning Hashem's Torah. It's only a schus for all those who are listening live. You know, obviously, many, I can always see the stats, so many more people listen to it, not live. But to stay in the first of Chanukah, certainly discuss. I'm happy that we're doing this. And especially learn Shabbos, which is the essence that we've been talking about Klal Yisrael. So to pick up, I think he's going to, this little thing is called Kolos HaKol, which is, you know, getting close to a wrap-up on the section. We have a couple more weeks to wrap up the section. This is the following thing. He's Spar Bechelkov. Going back, in the beginning of the Sefer, we elucidated Shah Malchus. We talk about Malchus, the Melech, the king, a physical king, is Klalat HaMedina. It represents the entire country. The king is the representative of the country. Kagon, analysis of the country, the kingdom has a distinct culture, flavor, etc. Kagon, Malchus Pras, for example, if you're the king of Persia, or the kingdom of Persia, Komaz Anshe HaMedina, Mispatelas El Metzias Malchus Pras. Everyone in Persia, They followed, they went after the king of Persia. Shemi'ata koyacha ve'achad, e'inu adam prati la'atzma. At some level, you no longer are yourself. And we discussed this, by the way, when we were trying to explain that. So the best explanation would be a Hasidic group. We were just mentioning the night of Chanukah in the pre-game, in the pre-shir talk about Chabad, right? So in Chabad, when the Lubav Shereb Zatzal was alive, right? It was all about the Rebbe. It's still all about the Rebbe for many of them, but it's different. He's dead, so I'm saying he's not alive. So, but it's still they're his movement. It's his movement. So when you become a Chabad Chassid, you give up some of yourself. That's Chabad. If you're a Belzer Chassid, you give up. If you're a Satmar, you give up some of your identity. You're following the Rebbe, and you follow the customs and the drive. Right? You can. You have Chabad Shluchim living literally around the entire world. Why? Because the Rebbe said, go out and change the world. You have Satmar people not teaching their kids English. The Rebbe said, you want to be successful in America, you should not intermingle and you speak Yiddish at home. Go to work, you can speak English, but at home it's only Yiddish. That's because that was what the Rebbe said, and that's what they do. So that if you're really a king, by the way, people in the army, if you're in the IDF, Same thing. You're part of the army. You give up some of yourself. By the way, it's not tonight's topic. A large reason why the very religious world in Israel do not want to join the army as is because the army is secular. Okay? And if you're a Haredi, so you're not willing to give up on your values for the army. I'm not kidding. This is a very complex topic. Very, very complex. And it's multifaceted. And that doesn't mean there's not a deep appreciation for the self-sacrifice, the sacrifice of the country that the IDF does. There's a tremendous of that. But at the same time, putting people, people are unwilling to give up to do that. I just explained to someone recently. I said, you know, putting, you know, Bnei Brak into the army is like taking Lakewood and putting it into Berkeley College, it's Berkeley University or MIT. That doesn't fly, right? It's on two different worlds over here. And the IDF is you give up some of yourself. You're now a soldier in the army, right? You stop thinking. By the way, that's, by the way, how young kids, some of them will be willing to give up their lives. They're not even thinking about it. They're literally going forward and some of them, I'm not saying all, and doing that. So when you're a chassid of the Rebbe, and it really, if you really believe in the king, the king is the same thing. And so you become part of a system. Even your identity, I'm Chabad, I'm Ger Chassad, I'm Vizhnitz, right? Or if you're into yeshiva, I'm this yeshiva, I'm an Eri Sol student, I'm a Brisker, I'm a Mirror, I'm a Lakewood, right? You connect to something bigger. Now, a real king, that's who you are. That's your pride. We don't have that really today so much. Nikra Alav Hashem Klal Shel Malchus, and you become part of this bigger system. And all the people of that country, just like the Hasidim become that Hasidim, people of that country become that those kind of people. So what happens is a kingdom represented by a king becomes a big whole. So every kingdom gets different flavors between Kedusha, Hevdo, Ben Amim, Mispatika, Metsuras, parts of Aponim, Shemashkif, Mosko. All of you know that until very recently, with all the worldwide globalization, immigration, there was used to be a distinct. You could tell someone who was from Switzerland or Sweden or German, certainly you can, or Slavic, you can tell a Russian. They looked a certain way. You could tell a different African, even there's different hues of the black. There's different distinct figures. Somalians, you could tell Somali. I can tell someone Somali. Somali, they look very different than Nigerians. There are different tribes that were there, different cultures that were there. You know, Mexicans and Cubans, I was just in Miami last weekend, so Cubans have a certain look, and Mexicans have a different look, right? There's external features that people very often, very often have if they're some for certain countries. There's different languages and different dialects, even if you speak a certain language, different people in different countries have different dialects, right? We speak English in the United States, and believe it or not, in Australia they speak English, and in South Africa it speaks English, and in England, and I can tell you, I'm sure you could do the same thing, who's from England, who's from South Africa, who's from Australia, and who's from America, right? There's different dialects, that's just English. I'm sure Spanish is the same way, even though I can't pick it up, because I don't speak Spanish well enough to pick it up. And everybody has, she'll have those surasham medaber and what the language is, v'chembalavosh, and different countries have different dresses. They dress differently. There's different fashions that are, no pun intended, fashion of all different countries. Shuyusoy galam in a noishi, right? And the way they're different foods, and they have different mentalities. Nivdas umazuzo, and different countries have different mentalities. For oifia medina nikarof mitsuras binias habatim. Very often the roads are different, or the houses are different, and there's different flavors in these countries. And therefore, if you're different, just like the Hasidim, you're way different if you're Ger than your Belz and your Vizhnitz and your Samar. And yeshivas are distinct countries, led by kings, are also very different. Even without a king, the countries are very different. And by the way, I'm not going to get into this, part of the EU, and why at some level it was and is a failure, at some level it's successful, but is that these countries are very distinct and they're different, and a lot of them don't want to lose their independence. Vasiba Kakshri cries Barsha Malchus, and the reason why a kingdom gets totally different, you know, in theory, by the way, France, and we all know that France and Germany were all one country at one point, right? And they broke off, and they came, today French and German, besides killing tens of millions of each other the past 250 years in different wars, right? You know, Charles Martel, Charlemagne is one country. They became very distinct, and they're totally, languages are different, people are different. France, you know, the Normans conquered England, and for many years, England and France had one, you know, continuum, and France and England are totally different countries. Okay, they become very distinct. And how does that happen? So we know that it's not just the physical world that's different. It's, so to speak, the neshama of the country that's different. There's really a heart, a spiritual reality with the Indian neshama is different than the guf. The guf, we know that a physical body is different body parts, but the neshama is not distinct. It comes the whole, you don't break up the body. You know, we have hands, legs, teeth, eyes, ears, that's different parts. It's one neshama, one reality in the bottom. And the neshama is koilelis, in the, that it has 248 sinews and things, if that's a positive, it's a 365. It's all one reality. So it takes over the Medina. By the way, we're not going through this right now, but when you think about nationalism, and it's always a constant ebb, and because there's still, every country has, so to speak, of the soul of the country. Sometimes Americans particularly talk about the soul of America, right? Again, without politicizing anything, what Donald Trump will tap into is the spirit of the country, the soul, and that will resonate with this country because there is a soul. I'm not talking about what the messaging is. I'm just saying there is, every country has an essence to it. The Chen Kasef Rambam, and the Rambam writes this, Hilchas Malachim, actually I remember Rabbi Leibowitz, who did he speak by? I think it may have been by Kevin Fagan, Yitzhak Fagan's Siman Sanhedrin. If I remember, your Siman Sanhedrin, someone's Siman Sanhedrin. He gave a whole drush when I was there about Libo Shomelech, about this Rambam. The Rambam says that the heart of the nation is the king. The king is the heart, is the neshama, so to speak, of the kingdom. And therefore, kings very often affect the whole culture. You look in Tanakh, who the king was, all the Jewish people, it would influence the entire people. If they had a righteous king, it had a tremendous positive effect. They had a wicked king, all of a sudden you find Jews doing idolatry. Who is our ultimate king? We're the kingship of kingdom of Hashem. our first citizenship is we are citizens of Hashem. You know, the reform movement, the first thing they do is they made themselves Germans of Mosaic persuasion, right? Their essence became Germans. Right? Our essence is always a Yid. We're first and foremost a Jew. We live in America. We're loyal citizens. We're appreciative. But we are Jews. Our kingdom is the Hashem's. That's our ultimate. If someone wants to accuse us of being dual citizens, we're citizens of Hashem's world. we're a kingdom of Hashem. Now, that doesn't, on the contrary, that only enhances our appreciation of where we live. But ultimately, our focus is Hashem. Shizu Mitzis Amrisal, that's the essence, wherever we were, always in history, the Yiddish people, the Jewish people, we're the nation of Hashem, we're the people of Hashem, and Hashem is our king. Mashakash Baruch Makam, and therefore we're different. But the Gentiles historically recognize our differences. It's one of the excuses for anti-Semitism. But we're different, we eat differently, we talk differently, we live differently, our focus is differently. So in the Roman empires, you can read Tacitus and Dio Cassius about what the Jews were. We were different in the Roman Empire. We are different. We're a Yid The greatest thing is we're supposed to be different. From the beginning of all of Klal Yisrael, when the Jews were in Egypt, Loshino, we did not change our language. Loshinam, we did not change our clothes in Egypt. Even though we're slaves, Ushmosa, we had Jewish names even in Egypt. Then it said Suas Achaim Uchaslam Shehem Adayin Tachas Malchashon. We're always Hashem's nation. We're always a Torah nation. And Umalchas Par Mitzrayim is not our soul. Now we may have been subjugated physically in Mitzrayim. We may live physically in Spain or in Rome or in England or in Poland or in Hungary or in Lithuania or Russia or Morocco, Algeria, or America. But that's just our body. Our souls, we are always Hashem, following Hashem. And the day that a Yid forgets that and thinks they're American, like everybody else. I saw like three articles. I mean, that is why Jews wrote so many Exodus songs. And I was mamish. It was like all over this year because today it's like a double header. I think it's funny that Hanukkah comes the same night as Xmas, the first night. It's, I think it happened 5 times in the past 100 years. Nebuch, they're selling Hanukkah, like, right? No, we have no shaykhs to any of this. We have no shaykhs, you know, but when a Jew doesn't know, there's no connection to this. When a Jew is not recognizes this, they lose their sense of what it means to be Yid. For it's the path of assimilation, it's the path of lack of self-knowledge. We are, you know, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amin Aslanos Torah, so we are the chosen, we're following Hashem. And if we ever live in a country, ever live in a city, ever live in a place where it's irreconcilable, then we have to move. Not just physically irreconcilable, not just because they want to kill us, or they don't want to, if we cannot live, our first and most important essence is to be following Hashem. That's what it means to be in the Malchus of Hashem. And Jews who are cognizant of that live differently. They live a Torah life. They had Dimmy and Shabbos, and this, by the way, you're asking Rabbi Levine, why we're learning this all, we're talking about Shabbos. Okay, now we're connecting to Shabbos. And the Dimmy and the Shabbos, I elaborate a little bit more because I'm swinging back at the end because we're in Hanukkah now. B'nei Adin, B'nei Shabbos, what about Shabbos Kodesh, Kila Mitzvah Malchus Shabbos, as we've been discussing and elaborated upon many weeks already, is that Shabbos is the essence of being in front of Hashem, with Hashem's Malchus manifested. Hamida HaShvi'is, Sha Shabbos Eina Mitzvah Keshar Mitzvah, Sha'esa Adam Be'echem Eramach. We know Shabbos is not just like a particular mitzvah, which you do with one body part, one area. It's its own world, its own kingdom. When we come into Shabbos, we're coming into an alternate universe. Even for Yidden, Shanasim Shabbat, we change everything. We change what we eat. We wear Shabbos clothes. We change how we talk. We don't talk about certain things on Shabbos. We're not talking about business on Shabbos, but making deals on Shabbos. We're not talking about on Shabbos. Ideally, we should be focusing on Torah on Shabbos, but the Parsha on Shabbos. Shanasim Shabbat, we change our Eitzah Chayim, our schedules. What we do with, we don't go in cars, things are muksah, don't turn on lights, right? Shabbos is a malchus. When you come into Shabbos, we're coming to a whole different kingdom, even for you. We're in way more closer to Hashem, because in the rest of the week, we're in Hashem's world, we're not in front of Hashem, and Shabbos, we're literally in Lefnei HaMelech. Elagam b'chitzenis v'tzursatis, everything about us changes on Shabbos. The apocalypse of Shahalki Sobago, wherever the Jewish people came in the exile, wherever we may have been, wherever station it was, when we were in Babylonia, when we were in Persia, actually go Persia than Babylonia. Actually Babylonia, then Persia, then back to Babylonia. And it's a little bit of Persia. Whether we were in Syria or in Algeria or in Libya or Egypt or all over Europe. Or today, Canada, United States, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, Australia. Hey, all of these places where all the Jewish people are, Shemagim and Shabbos came, Rechove Yehudim Nishtana. If you look, we've literally seen a picture of a Gentile make a picture of a Jewish people on a Saturday in the 18th century. It was Shabbos. It was recognizable to Jew and Gentile. Yerushalayim, you see it today. Lakewood, you see that today. The place is totally randomly, totally different. There's no cars in the streets. The place is empty. No cars, everything around it. Stores are closed. You can drive through Borough Park. Stores are closed. Everywhere, blocks of stores are closed on the Shabbos. Right? It's like a different reality. People wearing different clothes when they're walking in the street. And then there's no cell phones, no iPhones, no cars, no computers. Right? People are eating foods. They're not going to work. Right? It's a different country, a different world. Shabbat Shalom's overcall. Everything is devoted to Malchus Shemayim. For Amanu al HaPasek, we said earlier, the Pasek, L'cha Hashem, to you Hashem, is HaGdula V'HaGvura, greatness, strength, L'cha Hashem HaMlacha. To you Hashem is the kingship. Lama Chazer Kasav Alacha Hashem, but Idem HaMlacha. Why do you go say, reiterate that it's going back to Hashem as the king? Revar Atza Oid Parmas, I'll explain it another way now. Shebet Chilam Moina V'Hoylech as Sheish Hayesaidis. It goes through the six ways. B'darchi Hashem Shem Choyvchim Oilam Umlo. The way Hashem interacts, dominates, builds its role on all its surroundings. Shekachu Binyan Ha'ilam V'Sheish Ruchas. The six up, directions. Imkem L'mlacha Nefres La'atzim. Shemlacha Inami the Achas Greide. Ela Be'emes Aydei M'lacha Hashesh Atzim Choyzim Kul B'Tzeres HaChadash Sh'amalchas. Right, we know that there's Kabbalistically, Chagat Nihi, Chesed Gvura, Tiferes Netzach Hoy Yisoid, the six interactions of prisms, how Hashem sort of deal with the world. All three of them go up with the Malchus of Shabbos. We'll leave it, we're not going to go into heavy Kabbalah, we'll leave it, it's just the world changes on Shabbos. And now, we've discussed the past 2 weeks that the base of Hamikdash, so Shabbos, we have the base of Mikdash today. Someone says the base of Mikdash is destroyed, they're right. And we cry for it, we mourn for it, and we're lacking, and we're not close to Hashem. But Shabbos, we've been explaining, is we have the base of Mikdash, so to speak. And we know that another word for Malchus in Lashon HaKodesh is the base of Mikdash. Therefore, on the base of Mikdash, it wasn't just a place for avodah, serving Hashem and offering sacrifices, karbanos. Eli be'emes oilam shalom, it was all different halachas in the base of Mikdash. All different priorities in the base of Mikdash. All different reality in the base of Mikdash. Shekim Shasham Hayagili Malcha Shamayim, because in the base of Mikdash was a place of the revelation of Hashem, like Shabbos. Ha'oidin Shabo, you had to change everything in the base of Mikdash. The machalim, what you ate, what you drank, what you dressed in the base of Mikdash, there's particular clothes the Kohanim wore. Ha'yimitsu'unim, you had to be all kinds of level of tahara, of purity. If you were touched a dead person, you were not allowed up there. Until you had the parah adum, the red heifer, and you had the process of purity. If you were a tummy, if you were a zav, or you had keri, you had different bodily emissions, you had to go to a mikvah, or to a living, to a mayan, to certain types of water, you had to wait a day till it was night. If you touched other people who were tummy, you couldn't go up there. The base of ministry was a totally different reality, even in the time of it. When you went to the base of ministry, you would. Before you had to do things, you had to purify yourself. You had to be tar. You had to dress a certain way when you went up there. It was a total, like Shabbos, it was a totally different reality. You're walking the streets of Yerushalayim, now you're in the base of Yerushalayim, you better be ready. You just can't walk up there. You have to attire yourself, to be wear clothes, like you can't wear shoes up there. V'karkasvu ha-karmonim she-mishkam ha-mikdash, the tabernacle, the base of Mikdash, the temple, it was its own world. Inim b'nefesh ha-chayim, see nefesh ha-chayim, v'chayim v'lashin's work. The famous Chaim Veloshin Nefesh Chaim, the founder of the first Veloshin Yeshiva, based in English, inspired to the Varim, and everything basically represented the whole world. Chaim Veloshin elaborates on the details of that. Umalchus Shabbos, and the Malchus, the kingdom of Shabbos, which we enter on Shabbos, and the base of Mikdash, it's really the same thing. The reality of Shabbos, the way it's supposed to be. And the base of Mikdash is the revelation and manifestation of being in front of Hashem. It's Hashem's kingdom. As much as you and I change our world in a regular day, we dress differently, talk differently, eat differently. On Shabbos, we're totally entering it. And therefore, on Shabbos, you have $1 billion deal, it doesn't make a difference. You're in front of Hashem, you don't make $1 billion deal on Shabbos. Right? You want to visit your cousin Louis on Shabbos, he pressures you. You can't drive there on Shabbos. Oh, sir. You're Hashem's far out world. Right? You forgot to cook food on Shabbos. Right? You didn't bake. You can't make it on Shabbos. Go to someone's house. You can't make it. Too late. It's Hashem's world. You like wearing shorts around town or not? You go on a shul, you're wearing a... if you ever wear a shul, it's shul. But like, don't forget. A basic knesset is a basic mitzvah shemat. It's a mitzvah shemat. You always... That's why when you go to a shul, You should pick up your dress. Now, some people are wearing a black hat, some people are wearing a jacket for davening, some people are wearing a nicer shirt, whatever it may be. Sometimes you walk around with sandals, you put on shoes. You don't have to pay up your game. You know, obviously in the shuva world and the Hasidic world, they wear their hats. But wherever you are, that you're in a base of English now. And you don't bring your cell phone into a shul, ever. Honestly. I'm not telling you people don't do it, but it shouldn't be there. It's a base of English. You imagine people going getting calls in the middle of doing a korban, the base of English. All of a sudden someone's phoning, that's what happened today. All of a sudden someone's phoning, or you're calling, I'll call you back in a few minutes. What are you, crazy? In the base of English. You're in the base of English. Certainly you're sitting there with vibrating phones, you get out of town. If your wife's pregnant, you're someone's sick, it's an emergency, okay, there's exceptions to maybe. But as a general base of English, it's a different world. As you rule of Hashem, Chomotzim Malcha Shamayim, everything is about we're Hashem servants. We're Yidden right now, we're Jews, we're Yehudim. We're not Chabad, and we're not Ger, and we're not Tzamer, we're not Panovich, we're not Mir, we're not Prisk. Everyone's Hashem. Then those labels disappear. It's all about Hashem. It's not about your camp, your Hasidus, your Rebbe. It's all about Hashem. That's the bottom line at the end of it all. And therefore, Shabbos and Beis HaMikdash, we have alternate realities. In Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, even the weekday, we're always taught under Hashem. Right, we're always under Hashem's kingdom. But in Kema Be'emes, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash or Shabbos, well, if you're always following Hashem, what's the major difference? Is it like you just said, just like in this world, it's a difference between Klal Medina Shemel Shalot Alav Ben Beis Malach. That if you're in the house of the king, you're in the palace. And again, we don't have this today, but let's say for your Chabad, you're in 770. Okay, you're by the Ferregin, or you're by the Rebbe in Bells, they call it the Beis Hamikdash Maat in Yerushalayim. It's the biggest shul in Yerushalayim, massive shul. You see, as you're driving on the one to get to Yerushalayim, massive bells. It's the biggest building you're going to see as you're coming in. Right? You're by the Rebbe, treat yourself, it's different. You're in Windsor, the House of Windsor, in Buckingham Palace, and you're in the theaters. Have real kings, and they don't have that today. Now it's just movie stars, whatever they do over there. Right? But you act differently to the king when you're in front of them and you're behind. And when you're in front of the king, you act differently. Basically, you're the king. Right, if you're a chassid in front of the Rebbe, you treat it differently. You're a soldier in the barracks, but when you're in front of the general, you're different. Even in the where certain kingships that in the house of the king, they spoke a different language. So for many years, in England, for example, that they spoke English outside the palace, and the language of the palace was only Latin. Because that was the royal tongue. In the house, there's a certain level you have to be out in the palace. Now again, the whole concept in the Gentile world of kingship is disappeared, or even certainly in democracy, you could vote in any whatever you want to. There's no, it doesn't have to have dignity. You just have like their points, or they're charismatic. There's no wherever in all countries in the world it's that way today. The more you feel the kingship, the stronger it will be around you. And obviously, they say that Queen Elizabeth, you were not allowed to wear a dress that even looked like her dress. Now, I think there's a famous story that Margaret Thatcher, the first time she met Queen Elizabeth, she wore like a matching dress almost by mistake. It was a whole big deal. Like, the Iron Lady, right? This very popular prime minister, which England really needs to have today, someone like her to save that country, right? But she sees the queen, she's a commoner. Margaret Thatcher was a commoner. You can't wear the same dress as the queen. You could, by the way, if you're Margaret Thatcher and you're not in Buckingham Palace, you're not by the queen, you can wherever you want, but you're in her presence, you can't look like her. So when you're in front of Hashem, our game picks up. And the Beis HaMikdash was the Beis Hashem, it was the Beis HaMelech. And therefore, if you went to Beis HaMikdash, you had serious consequences if you weren't pure. if you didn't do the Avoda correctly, the punishments were much greater, so to speak. The expectations were that much higher. For the Metzias and Shabbos, the Shabbos curse is the base of Melech. We come to Shabbos, it's the base of Meskali, the Yisrael, Meskachol. So we always, wherever we are, a Yid, we have to always know we're in Hashem's world. But Shabbos, Al-Akas, Kama, Vakama, we're in front of Hashem. You know, I just want to finish. I started by Chanukah, so this is Shkaich for everyone learning today on the night of Chanukah. Very chosh to learn Torah, but it's also what we're learning today, I think, is particularly apropos to all of us. The essence of Chanukah is about being a Yid. You know, it's really about the light of Chanukah. It's the light of menorah, and you know, some of the rabbis say that we light indoors today because it used to be light outdoors. You don't want the world outdoors to enter our house, right? But certainly today in our own houses, but we're sitting giving share on Zoom. You can bring the whole world to your house on your internet, right? And you can watch how Goyim eat and drink, and you can watch their sins. The worst sins in the world on the internet. You can watch those perverse, sick things, or you can just waste your whole life and time on the internet. A Yid, we live differently. Chanukah is to know that we are different. We have a different soul. It's not to knock anyone, any person. We just have to understand we have a different mission in this world. We have a different mission in the world. The Hellenistic Jews, who we fought against, people don't realize there was a civil war in Chanukah. It wasn't just we fought against the Syrian Greeks, we fought against the assimilated Jews, right? All of us are here, we're on the side of the people who kept the Torah, or those Hellenistic Jews who came back and, you know, did tshuva. They looked themselves over than the Greeks. That's what happened. You know, eventually many of their descendants became early Christians. You know, we are different. We have to understand that we have a different soul. So our Melech is different. Right? Our Melech is different. You know, there's a movie, I never saw it, but I know all about it, called The Jazz Singer. I actually mentioned it in my history class, about coming to America. And so much of that movie, which I never saw, about assimilation, about being American, fitting in, was Jews not appreciating that we have a different role in this world. It's not about being an American. Obviously, we live in America. I'm very happy that we live in such a country that until now has been very good to us. Had some problems, but been very good to us. But we're not Americans. We vote in America. We're Yidden. You know, our goal, and by the way, even if you live in Israel, we're not Israelis. We're not. You're an Israeli, not an Israeli. I met Netanyahu at least two or three times. Definitely twice I sat down. I like him. I think he's a pretty good prime minister. He's his foibles also. But he ain't my king. If I be in Israel, I follow Israel. He's the president of Israel. But my old Hashem's a king. And if the state of Israel ain't going to follow that, then that's their problem. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm very grateful to the state of Israel. I wish my grandparents had in the Holocaust. I think it's done a lot of great things. But the day it breaks halacha or Torah, it's not my king. Hashem's the king. Chanukah, we like menorah. The aura of the menorah is our neshama, right? As our neshama, our neshama connected to Hashem's neshama. We're chelik Hashem imamal. Chanukah is a reminder to prioritize when we see the menorah of what it means that we're different. We have a different vision of this world. And if we light the menorah and we think about it, and we enforce the message of Chanukah, why the Hashmonaim, why the Maccabees fought, what they fought on Chanukah for, then the light of Chanukah doesn't just stay these 8 days in Mirat Hashem with the light of Chanukah. Kiner Mitzvah, the Torah aura, which is connected to the Torah, it should brighten our lives, the lives of the Jewish people, and the light of the world as we go forward. Okay, Yishakayach.